Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and thank God just another day that He has blessed us to be able to come this way again. Amen. Over the airways, over the Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Be able to say what thus saith the Lord, knowing that the truth will make you free. Like the Master said, buy the truth through the wise man Solomon and sell it not, also wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 23 and 23. So we thank God for the truth. They asked the question, what is truth? Pilate asked the question. So we know that the truth is in Jesus. So we're just so grateful to be able to come your way one more time. Amen. There's nothing like being able to get into God's word. Amen. Like the prophet, patriarch David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. Said, entrance of thy word giveth knowledge, gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. So there's nothing like the word of God. So we thank God that we're here just another time, knowing is of his mercies, as the prophet said in the book of Lamentations, that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So we're here. We'd like to welcome all of our Facebook listeners, all of our Twitter listeners, and all of our Blog Talk listeners and our Blog Talk followers and our Blog Talk friends. Thank God for you. Amen. Those on the West Coast, we say good afternoon. Those on the East Coast, we say good evening. And whatever time zone you're in, we say good day to you. Man, it's good for us to be here. So just another episode here where we have been talking the last 3 weeks about the mystery of the church. And today we are still talking about the mystery of the church. And this would be part four on today. So we're talking about the believer's walk, the believers being made worthy, about the unity in the Spirit, the peace in the Spirit, and the love in the Spirit. So before we do that, we'd like to give you our call-in number. Should you desire to call in, or should you have a comment, you are welcome. And our call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So that is our call-in number. Also, should you desire to drop us a few lines, you can email us truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525 1-800-325-ATT.net. So we're blessed to be able to be here. Thank God for the truth. Amen. The truth will make you free. So thank God for the water baptism in the precious name of Jesus. Thank God for the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gives utterance, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. The promise, way back in the book of Joel, and it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. That means all human beings, Jew and Gentile and Greek and whatever nationality and that you are of. God's going to pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. Because we all are body, soul, and spirit. And we're not going to escape. We're all going to have to stand before God one day. So it's like he said, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow unto me, and every tongue shall confess unto God. So thank God for the salvation of God, being born of water and of the Spirit. Like I said, you too can have the salvation of the Lord. Just like Luke the writer, who is the writer of Luke and also the Acts of the Apostles, and Luke, Acts 4 and 12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So salvation is in the name of Jesus. What makes the virtue in the water is in the name of Jesus. You have to have your sins washed away in the precious name of Jesus. No sense in playing around. No sense in fooling around or fooling yourself. And go through here and don't have God's salvation, because you're not going to get away. Amen. But you want to be born again. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So you might as well get it right. Amen. There's only one that died for you, one that came to give his life a ransom for many. And he was wrote about back in the Old Testament. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Jehovah of the Old. He came in the volume of the book. As the Bible said, it is written of me to do thy will. So he came to give his life. Amen. He said, no man take my life. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. So he got up, just like he said he would. Amen. On the third day morning. Amen. He got up, somebody said, with a mighty triumph for his foes. Amen. He's mighty to save. He's God, and there's none else. He said, I'm God, and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. Amen. So thank God for his unspeakable gift. So we know a mystery is a hidden truth. And so the church, which is the body of Christ, amen. Christ is the Christos, or the anointed flesh of God. So he came, amen, to give his life. And so nobody going to give their life, no ordinary man. But Jesus says that he came, he's a good shepherd. In the 10th chapter of St. John, the good shepherd laid down his life that he may take it again. And that's when he, like I've said previously, he made the quote, no man take my life, but I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. So, you know, it appears as though they killed him. They killed the Prince of Life. They killed him because he let them kill him. But that's why he came. So we know the devil is a liar, and everybody who he uses and tries to speak through. And so when he was on the cross, they said, come down and we will believe you. That's a lie out of hell. They still don't believe him. Amen. But that they're going to believe him, because they're going to see him face to face one day, because you're not going to get away. So thank God for his salvation. So on today, we're going to move on into the word of the Lord. We finished up the first, the second, and the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. Knowing this is one of Paul's first prison epistles, and he was in Ephesus, as you can read in the 20th chapter through the 28th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. So this is one of this was written from Rome AD 64, the first order of the prison epistles. So the church here is the true church, his body, not the local church, but he's talking about the believer's position in the church here in the book of Ephesians. So we can see in the first chapter how he's talking about how he's blessed us with all spiritual knowledge. He predestinated us, made us accepted in the beloved. And he made in one all things which are in heaven and earth, you know, the counsel of his own will, and how we trusted in him, and we believe the gospel of the truth, gospel of our salvation, after we believe we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So after we obeyed the gospel. So we know Peter preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost, and the gospel is still being preached even on the day. So Apostle Paul was praying, actually a prayer here, when he was talking about how he made known unto us the mystery of his will in the first chapter, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. And so at the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on earth, even in him. And so he goes on here that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, whom you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So he goes on here, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may make known unto you the spirit of wisdom, give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding. Remember we were saying, you can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. That is the eyes of your understanding. Oh, I see. That's the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of his glory, of the inheritance in his saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead. You got to understand the body. We're talking about God's omnipresent spirit and the body, which is the church, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, which is his body. He was in him, in that body, and he raised them up. So God is the spirit. He dwelt in that body. So that's why when we come on, we say, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then we go on, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word, verse 14 in St. John, the first chapter, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So begot means to become the father of. So the Holy Ghost is the father of Jesus, which is his own body. He begot himself. The holy thing which shall be born of thee, Luke 1 and 35, shall be called the Son of God. A power of the highest overshadowed Mary. That's what he said. That holy thing which shall be born of thee, talking to Mary, shall be, the key word is called the Son of God. So they knew, Jews know, that the Son of God is God himself in that sense. So he says that he was full of grace and truth, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the truth will make you free. So that's what we have been endeavoring to do. So here he's talking about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of his glory, of the inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So when he said, when he wrought, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. It hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we know that's in the first chapter of Ephesians. So the second chapter, he's talking about how we're quickened. We were dead in trespasses and sins and all the positions that we were, how we're saved through grace, his mercy and his grace. He quickened us together. By grace are you saved. He raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come, that's in ages to come, not even in this life. Then verse 8 in the second chapter, by grace are you saved through faith. That is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Notice, understand, you got to understand that he is talking to people who are already saved here. So he goes on to say, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus under good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So he's talking about our position. Wherefore, remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Notice he's talking to Gentiles here when he wrote, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. So in other words, you're made near. That word nigh means near. He is our peace who hath both won and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which are nigh. So there he goes on, verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So he made us all, and remember when he died, how the veil was, the earthquake and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. So that's why the writer said in the book of Hebrews, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace help in time of need. So now there is no difference between the Jew or the Greek. The same Lord is rich. He's the same Lord of the Jew as he also to the Greek. And that's why in the book of Galatians, when we made it plain, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So he's talking about position and all there too. But see, so today what we want to do, so last week we were pretty much in the third chapter talking about the mystery. And so Apostle Paul really is praying a prayer in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. So in the 10th verse he says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So in other words, God's wisdom coming from all directions. You got to be born again to understand, to get this. All of this other stuff is going to pass away. Nobody ever got out of here alive yet, but we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the church that is, to give account to the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or bad. So we're not going to get out of here alive, but we're only going to be here, like James says, what is your life? It's but a vapor. It appears for a little while, then it vanishes away. So if you live 100 years, that's a long time to us. That's a short time compared to eternity. So that's why they say only what you do for Christ will last. So it doesn't matter not what you did in your former life, but the important thing is to be born again. So that's why we always stress that. That was what makes the difference, being born again. Your spirit, you got a new change, a change of mind, a change of heart. You don't do the things that you used to do and the places that you used to go. You don't want to go no more. You got different intent when you go to places. You don't have the same motive that you had, even if you happen to go to some places. If you happen to go in the bar, and people have went in the bars and witnessed to people. If they do, they're not in there drinking. So that's why Jesus said, go out into the hedges and highways and compel them to come. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Sometimes, even on your job or wherever you are, there's places that you may end up going that we wouldn't say, as everybody's not going to come in a church. Some people you got to go get. And so that's why, even myself, I did prison ministry for better than 20 years in virtually all women's prisons. The first couple of years was in the men's facility. Then they changed those facilities over to women's facilities. So virtually all the time that I did the prison ministry, I did minister to female prisoners or women prisoners or young women, all different ages. So, I still did go into men's prisons, but most of my ministering in the prison system was to female prisoners. So you got to do what you got to do. So you can help people. You can show them the way. They think there is no hope because it doesn't matter. We look at the way we look at people like, oh, they're in prison. You know, we look down on people. But some folks who've never been to prison, you're in the same shape as far as God is concerned. You're a sinner that's in need of the grace of God because we were born sinners. So we're all in need of the grace of God. So there's no reason to look down on someone who got caught. Some folks have done stuff, never been caught doing what they were doing. So we were prisoners to sin and things that people were bound with. Some folks were habitual liars. It just was a habit to just lie. Some folks were adulterers. People were thieves. I mean, it doesn't matter. Even if you were self-righteous in the sight of God, you were a sinner, and you are a sinner who needs to be born again if you haven't been born again. So here, as he says, to the intent that the verse that I just read, that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, remember I was saying, Apostle Paul, this is a prayer. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So notice what he says. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able to do above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen, or so be it, is what it says. So, this brings us to where we want to go today, and that is we're talking about the mystery of the church, part four. We're talking about the believer's walk, how he's made us worthy, and how we need unity. We need the bond of peace, and we need the love of God. So it's, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So, just like any other job, you get to receive a job, they have a code of conduct. They have guidelines. They have rules that you should follow when you receive a certain job. And so you're working for that particular company. You don't want to shame them, but you want to walk circumspectly. You want to be worthy of that and show your appreciation and everything. So it is when you're born again. So he says you should walk worthy. I beg you, I beseech you, he says, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And he goes on to say, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. So, everybody's not walking at the same pace. So, we all should be trying to help one another and to hold up one another and to help one another and to have love one for another. So that's why you get to know people. You can't say everything to people that you don't know. But when you know somebody, you can tell them. So just like you know somebody real well, you can tell them that. You know that's not right. But somebody you really don't know, you don't talk to, you just can't come out at them. So you got to people know that you care by the things that you do, by the things that you say, by the support that you give. So he goes on to say, with all loneliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in loving, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, and then just talking about love, you're not patting somebody on the back saying, oh, that's okay, if you know they're doing wrong. No, if you're doing wrong, you need to get yourself up and get yourself straight if you're doing wrong, because you can't make it like that. So that's exactly what you have to do, is to take care of yourself. So we thank God that we have his word, and we're able to just that, is to do the things that we should. Amen. Have the care one for another as we should. So he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So that's what we should be doing. We're not patting somebody on the back saying you're okay. No, you messed up. You need to get yourself right. You got the wrong attitude. You need to get yourself right. Not all just wrong, as we would say, but you got to have the right attitude as a child of God. And so this is what everyone has to do. So thank God for that. You got to have the right attitude and the right frame of mind when you are a child of God. And so not just anything goes, but it's how we say, yeah, the Lord understands. Yeah, he understands. You're going to be lost if you don't get yourself together, because we have to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So we have to love one another. We have to do those things, like the writer said, that are pleasing in his sight. Most of the time, even a child knows when they're doing something that is not right. And you got to be taught, most important of all. So that's why you do have a local church, so you can be taught in the local church. So you can't, no man is an island. So that's why the Bible said that God set it the solitary in the family. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. So this is what we have to do as people of God. We can't set ourselves apart from everybody, but we have to gather together, as the Hebrew writer says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some is, but as much as you see the day approaching, how we got to gather ourselves together in God's house at our service times, our local assembly, so we can be taught, because we're not in it all by ourselves. And so we got to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So he goes on here. This is what people don't understand. So everybody ought to be saying the same thing. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But on every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So see, the work of Calvary, he wasn't just on that cross, but he had to do some things. So he led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto men. There are things that he had to do, and things that he did do as the suffering lamb to take away our sins. Amen. The reconciliation for the sins of the world. to pardon our sins, to forgive our sins. He had to become the sin offerings. This is why we can read about that. 53rd chapter of Isaiah gives us a very plain picture of what happened to Jesus. And what did he come to do? So that's why the writer in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah starts off, who hath believed our report? And to whom is... So he says, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as no form nor comeliness. We should see him, there should no beauty. We should... rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. As it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Right here, this is the part. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can look at things that happened to him. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was bought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. So this is what happened to him. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for transgressors. So a lot of people don't understand. They used to talk about Jesus during his earthly ministry, especially the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They were talking about he was a wine bibbler, and he was eating with sinners. He let them know, they that are whole, they don't need a physician, but they that are sick. He went on to say, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that is exactly the same thing that John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist, did. He said the same message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So you can read in the 40th chapter of Isaiah when he says, comfort ye my people, comfort. And then he went on to say, talking about every valley being exalted and all, what he said, because he was talking about Jerusalem, how they had received double of the Lord's hand. They had so many woes and judgments that they had on the city of Jerusalem. So he says, speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double. Received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And so here's the prophecy of John the Baptist in Isaiah 40 and verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. So this is the same quote when you can read in the 1 Peter, when he was saying, this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The same word. So it goes on to say, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So he says, O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up in the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up the voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold, your God. So this is a mighty book written by the eagle-eyed prophet here. So it goes on to say, the Lord saying here in the 25th verse, to whom shall ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Remember I told you, if you follow me, after the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah no more in the Bible. But you see that one God still there in the Bible. So he goes on, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. What sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. And so that's what people need to know. Today in Congress, on Capitol Hill, some of these folks that are doing some of the things that they're doing, all the greed and all that's going on, they, in their mind, like the Bible said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So they think money is their God. They think God is not listening. God is not looking. But I got news for them. They're not going to get away. Remember, when I made the quote probably last week and even before, when I always say, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. He either hate the one and cleave to the other, he'll hold to the one and despise the other. And he went on and made it plain. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. So man is in trouble, because one thing is horrible, all of the sin and everything that's going on, even the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, when you read in the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis and the 19th chapter, and even before then, about the cry of Sodom and how God judged them, and look at the world today, what's going on in the world. And sin is sin. A liar is a liar. Adulterer is adulterer. A fornicator is a fornicator. And other sins are classified, two men together, two women, that's fornication. With somebody that's not your husband or not your wife is fornication. So it matters not. And there ain't no man trying to get out of a woman's body or woman trying to get out of a man's body. But God made the man, and he made the woman for the man. And he said to prevent fornication or keep fornication from happening, let every man have his own wife and every wife have her own husband. So you can't marry somebody of the same sex. And the devil is a liar, and he know that's a dirty lie. You got to marry somebody of the opposite sex. That's the way God made us. Not for us to go off on a deep end with some foolishness. So anyway, he's a mighty God. He don't change. So he says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, oh yes, today it takes courage to preach and to teach the gospel. Just like when Moses died, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And he told his servant Joshua to be strong and of a good courage. So nowadays you got to be courageous. You got to be of a good courage to preach and to teach the gospel, the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he can stop you from heading down to a devil's hell. Because the devil, hell was created for the devil and his angels, and you can miss that. You do what the Lord says. Your own way is going to lead you down straight to the lake of fire after the great white throne of judgment. You don't be born again. So, oh yes, like somebody said, beautiful story of Jesus. I tell it everywhere I go. And they went on to say, oh, but it's not just a story. So it's not a joke. Amen. People are laughing and think it's and mocking, but everybody talking about praise the Lord. Yeah, God is good. Yes, he is. And his mercy endureth forever. Amen. But not for you if you don't straighten out and fly right. Amen. We got to do what he says. So this is why Apostle Paul is talking about the mystery of the church. So, and the church is the body of Christ. So as we get back here into our lesson here, so he's talking about he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. That's a great question. How far is far above? Ain't nobody else. All these other folks is claiming to be the honorable this one and that one and this one. Going to give somebody 72 virgins and all that foolishness. You ain't getting nothing. Marriage is for now. You got to understand what the word of God said. That's a mystery too. Marriage is for now. You don't get married now in this life. There is no marrying in the life to come. He is the great love. So scripture will support scripture. And so in the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus is talking here. He's talking about a divorced man. And so anyway, he says, he answered, I want to start. He answered and said unto them, have you not read that which he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Talking about man and woman. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So the two of them, they're going to be one. That's wherefore they are no more twain or two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Talking about man and woman. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement to put her away? Question. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffer you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery. Whosoever marry her which is put away, doth commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, is the case of the man be so with his wife? Is it not good to marry? But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save or accept they to whom it is given. Here it is right here. There are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. There are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. There be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. We know what that is. Know about history, eunuch is a castrated man. And they did that for a reason, because they didn't want them, they hanging around the palace, they didn't want them to be intimate with their wives or their daughters or whatever. So you could be celibate. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no law against being married. Apostle Paul said, if you can't contain his eye, it's better to marry than to burn. When you read in the book of the Corinthians church, when he wrote and gave order. So but you can't, that's up to you. That's your choice. He said, have we not power to lead about a wife, a sister? So just because you're a minister, just because you're a bishop, just because you're an apostle, or whatever you call yourself, that's your choice if you want to have a wife. But if you don't want to have a wife, then you sure don't, if you're a man, you don't need another man. If you don't want to have a husband, if you're a woman, you don't need another woman. That is folly. That is abomination in the sight of God. But what's honorable, as the Hebrew writer says in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge. So you might as well do it right. Or don't do it at all. Amen. This illegal procedure, they would have said years ago, of someone wanting to marry the same gender. That is illegal. You cannot do that. That's as far as God is concerned. I don't care what kind of law that a state passes. You got to take heed that no man take your crown. You got to take heed that you don't be deceived by no man. I don't care if it's the governor. I don't care if it's the president. You can't be deceived by anyone. You can pass a law. People are leaving their wives for men are leaving their wives for another man. Women are leaving their wives, their husbands for another woman. That's an abomination in the sight of God. He hates it. That's why he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. That's just the gospel truth, and it matters not who don't like it. But God's word is true. Amen. So we might as well believe what he says. And you can't just be swinging your partner around and around. You need to get a wife. If you want to have sex, you need your own wife. You want to have sex, and you a woman, you need your own husband. You a man, you need your own wife. That is the gospel truth, to do it like God said. So here talking about the believer's position, we haven't got off base. Let this threw that in. Amen. So we might as well do right, and that's what this show is all about anyway. It's about truth. So he goes on to say, and he gave some. So here, this is the order of God. He gave some apostles. So what was the apostles' job? Apostles' job was to lay the foundation of the New Testament church. They laid the foundation, and they wrote the scriptures of the New Testament church, and they died horrible deaths. Horrible deaths. Some of them were pulled in two by horses, skinned alive, threw off the temple, beheaded, crucified upside down. They died horrible deaths. They were appointed to this. Even John, he was boiling oil, but he was in the isle called Patmos for the testimony of God. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day because he had to complete his ministry and his assignment that the Lord gave him. That's why he was in the isle that is called Patmos. So they couldn't boil him, couldn't cook him, and get rid of him before the time. Amen. So they died a horrible death. So why is it now folks are popping up with all these titles? That don't make you important. He had the 12 apostles of the Lamb in the book of Revelation. It's going to be 12 foundations in the 12 cities with the 12 apostles, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So all these other folks that are popping up that are apostles, who crowned you apostles? What I want to know. Who promoted you to be an apostle? Sure wasn't God. Must have been man. So there's nothing like knowing what the truth says. So he gave some apostles. So their job was to lay the foundation. Number one, write the New Testament scriptures. Number two, and like I said, I jumped ahead. I got to back up a little bit. They were eyewitnesses. The apostles were eyewitnesses. And Apostle Paul, Lord, let him see him. He said, and last of all, he was seen of me, talking about Jesus. So that's one of the signs of the apostle, of an apostle, is that you had to see the Lord. So, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Notice there's not a comma between pastors and teachers, because a pastor is the teacher in the local assembly. So there's nothing like getting understanding. So God does have people set in the body as it has pleased him. So why is that? Here it is right here, the next verse. For the perfecting of the saints, or bring them to maturity, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So just like I said, your gift is not for you. Your gift is for someone else. Like someone said, and we're not talking about sex when we say this, said love is no good unless you give it away. So we're talking about spread love and showing love. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So like I said before, I'll back up and say what I was going to say again. There's only one that died for us. That was the Lord himself, Emmanuel, God with us. So in case you didn't know, even those that are listening right now, that is a lie out of hell that somebody is going to give somebody 72 virgins. How stupid. You can't even find your brain, let alone anything else. You're blown all to pieces. You're not getting nothing. You're going to stand before the great white throne judgment of judgment and get cast into the lake of fire. That's going to be your reward. Your reward is going to be a reward of unrighteousness. You're not getting nothing. Blowing yourself up. So you ain't going to no paradise. That is a lie out of hell, and the devil know that's a lie. You're blowing yourself up. You're going to get 72 virgins. You're going to paradise. No, you're not. I tell you that right now. So you can go tell whoever that is that told you that lie that they are a lie. Amen. So you can't be deceived. So need to catch a hold of faith and believe. Stop believing that lie. So the perfecting of the saints is why the ministry was given. The church here, the edifying of the body of Christ. So this is why he gave these offices here. We can see it's fourfold ministry, not fivefold. Apostles and prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. The pastor is the teacher. That's not fivefold. That's fourfold, because there's no comma between pastor and teacher. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. A perfect man, Jesus. Remember St. John 5:48, he said, be ye therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. God's perfect and man's perfect is not the same thing. The perfect perfection, what he's talking about, is maturity. And like girls got a hold of this way back when we were in junior high, when they used to say to the young boy, the boys or the young men, two words, grow up. So you got to grow up. You got to be mature. So that's what he's talking about. Perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The answer, you keep listening, you get it again, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, remember, may grow up, there it is, in him, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we got to be mature. For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. See, that's what a lot of people are doing. They're just doing whatever they want. Oh, yeah. After you're dead, you're done. No, you're not. There's a part of you that's not going to die. You a body. You got a, you're a spirit. You live in a body, and you have a soul. That soul is that emotional part. Spirit is going back to God. That's why the Bible said all souls are mine. But the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Remember he said there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You can go to sleep and be in another country. You could be gone. And you wake up, I'm glad that was a dream. Sometimes you might have a good one. Sometimes you may have a nightmare. That's the real you. This body that you're living in is just the house, your temporal house that you're living in. It's going to be dissolved. That's why he wrote to the church at the church at Corinth, and he says, though this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building not made with hands. Talking about the church, eternal in the heavens. So that's what you want, your new house, which is from heaven. That's why he's going to change our vile body. The writer said when he wrote to the church at Philippi, like unto his glorious body, whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. When he shall appear, we shall appear also with him in glory. And his appearing is just what it is. The rapture of the church is the appearing. The second coming is when the church, as Enoch says, he prophesied to them. He said, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That's the second coming, when he's coming back to fight. He's not playing. Which is his times, he shall show who he is, the blessed and only potentate, only supreme ruler, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's not playing. Amen. These people are despising the poor and lying to people. And just like the Bible says, rich rule over the poor and the borrower servant to the lender. That didn't just now start. You got to have $1 billion to become president and millions to become congressmen and senators and all of that. Just foolishness. I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I'm a dependent. I'm a Green Party. To God ain't no party. God is justice. He is just. He ain't for all this foolishness. Folks starving out other people, and they think money is their God. They can buy whatever they want. But I got news for them. Just like I said, when the Antichrist come on the scene, amen, when this currency gets changed over, yeah, you just have a sheet with a bottom line on it. Everybody going to be in the same bag. You can't buy or sell unless you take the mark of the beast. You're going to be, you don't take it, your head. So it's going, oh, it's going to change. It's not going to remain just like it is right now. So what we have to do here. So he said, this I say, and therefore testify in the Lord that we, I already read that. Anyway, so he goes on to say, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Then he goes on, who being past feeling, having given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. Talking about the things that people do. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him. And here's what I want to get to. As the truth is in Jesus. It ain't in nobody else. I don't care what he say his name is. The prophet, whoever, and the God, whoever you say he is, there's only one God. Amen. And his name is Jesus. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. Amen. He's God. There's none else. Like he said, there's God. There's none like him. In the beginning, God is a divine testimony. There was only one witness on the stand, and that was God himself. He said, I'm the God of all flesh. So we look at, oh yeah, he's red, he's brown, he's white, he's this, he's that, she's this. No, you're all flesh. So why you think people are all mixed up and half this and half that and part this and part that? Because we're all the same. Some of these folks trying to act like they can't stand certain people of certain nationalities. They was in the bed with them soon as it got dark, soon as they took them behind the bushes, soon as they took them off to themselves. Why? Because you got all got the same thing. Amen. It's all the same. You just look different, but it's all the same inside. Amen. And it's right anyhow. So he says, so he says that you put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle is what that word can be transformed into. And so the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So that's what we want to do. We're going to stop right there. Going to pick up again on next week here, talking about the mystery of the church. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.